France, Germany, and Ireland are under new pandemic restrictions as Europe tries to contain the latest surge in coronavirus cases. But schools are staying open, unlike in many parts of the U.S. where students are mostly learning remotely. We wanted to take a look at the research on the virus in schools, and to do that, we have Dr. David Rubin, a pediatrician and infectious disease expert at the University of Pennsylvania. Doctor, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Doctor, what does the research tell us about schools, particularly elementary schools, and whether COVID has been spreading there?
Well, you know, since August and September, as many schools are starting to open under a variety of different plans, we're now aggregating a lot of contact tracing evidence from across the country. So it's not simply from overseas. And what we're finding is that the multi-layered safety plans we've developed with schools that have emphasized masking, distancing while at school, keeping sick kids out of the school, doing hygiene and disinfection and ventilation, you know, that these types of things, when layered together, have actually prevented what we call link transmission from occurring frequently in schools. In fact, we've seen very infrequent evidence of spread within the school day, particularly among the elementary age children. So it's actually given us greater confidence that schools can stay open at much higher incidence rates than we had known about earlier in the summer.
And we should be clear, it's not that children don't get the virus, but they are far less likely to get a serious case of the virus. But how risky is this virus for kids, and are they less likely to spread it?
Well, let's be very clear. Kids can transmit this virus. So, you know, my previous comments really focused on the fact that these safety protocols actually are extremely effective. They're very similar to the ones we have in healthcare to prevent transmission during the workday. And we know that younger children are inefficient drivers. We see less symptomatic infection and certainly severe infection among younger kids. I think, you know, where we have greater challenges is when we get to the middle school or high school age level. As you get closer to adulthood, it's not a binary, you just become an adult and suddenly you're prone to symptomatic infection. You'll see more symptomatic infection in the adolescence for sure. And then you have sort of higher risk behaviors that are associated with middle and high school. You have a lot more social contacts at parties that are taking place outside the school day. And then you have kids moving between classes. All that makes the middle school and high school level a little bit more challenging, and that differentiates from an elementary school situation where if you have good adherence to these protocols, you can actually do really well.
I mean, based on all of what you're saying, when you see a number of European countries imposing new virus restrictions but keeping schools open, do you think that's a good idea? And is it something the U.S. could replicate?
I actually strongly agree that, you know, as we're seeing rates really start to surge now as we move into wintertime, we're likely to see increasing restrictions again, particularly as healthcare capacity begins to become exhausted in many regions. And learning from what we're now seeing in the schools, I think that this time around, we should be trying to think about more surgical restrictions that would preserve our school reopenings as long as possible, so long as we're not seeing linked transmission in the schools. And so I would agree that the approach that we're seeing in Europe that would look at other types of restrictions while keeping our schools open would be the prudent way to go.
There's also the safety of the teachers, though. I mean, many teachers' unions say it's not safe for teachers to go back. How should we be thinking about the risks to adults who work in these environments?
Well, the key is whether we're seeing any evidence of linked transmission. Our guidelines actually changed over the last month to emphasize less a number and more about the relationship with your health department and how well you think the contact tracing is establishing that teachers are safe and that students are safe within the context of a school day. Most of the transmission we're seeing is happening outside the school day. And I really do think that, you know, to the teachers out there, we are establishing pretty good confidence that if these protocols are implemented well, and that's a big if. I mean, if they're not being implemented well, we've seen transmission. But if they're being implemented well and teachers are spacing themselves out from students and they're wearing their masks, we should see very little in-school transmission to teachers.
Doctor, one other thing that I'm thinking a lot about is the other risks to children that need to be weighed here. I have two children. I'm thinking about what happens to them developmentally, their education, by not being in school. What are some risks to children when we talk about this issue of kids in school during the pandemic?
I mean, surely you have to weigh the socio-emotional risk. I mean, even though we're now at a phase where we're seeing testing positivity rise to extreme levels, that it may make sense to revert to some distance learning, particularly for your older kids, for a couple of weeks to let this wave kind of come through, at least stabilize a bit. The socio-emotional risks are high on our mind. You know, you're often balancing the difference between bad and worse here. And I think as we gain confidence in our school protocols, it emboldens us to recognize that if we are more assured of the safety in these school environments, that we have a real need to really push to try to keep these schools open and find ways for kids to remain resilient through the remainder of the pandemic.
That's Dr. David Rubin, a pediatrician and infectious disease expert at the University of Pennsylvania and Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. Doctor, thank you so much.
You're welcome.